Once again, I wish that the disciples had written down those things that Jesus shared to him in that room. It would be so much easier for me. But, you know, I don't know that it would help in the sense that we don't always hear what we should hear, and we don't always heed what we should heed. Anyway, just an aside. Well, good morning, church, and good morning to you, God. So I'm not sure exactly where I'm going with all this morning. I've got like all these things going through my head about these parables. First of all, before we do anything else, I want to, put aside the idea that a mustard plant is this little thing with little flowers that grows about this tall, and they take the seeds and they make mustard and French's or whatever. The mustard tree in the Middle East is huge. That is a mustard tree. So, put that in context. I think that's amazing. And it is a favorite place for birds to nest and to perch. Well, I want to say Happy Father's Day as well. And like Mother's Day, the celebration of Father's Day is not always joyful for everyone. I hope I haven't told you this story before, because I don't like to repeat myself too often. I had a friend who was in prison for quite a few years for some really violent crimes. And when he was in prison, as is often the case, he was approached by the chaplain and or volunteers about, you know, are you saved? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe in the Father? And for Jim, when somebody said that God was the Father, he totally rejected the whole package of Christianity, because his father had been abusive and cruel, and his idea of fatherhood was not one of love. So some really wise chaplain suggested to him that he think about God in the context of Jesus the Son, and Jesus as his brother. And that helped him to move through to a place where he could indeed understand and love God the Father. I wonder if you heard echoes of the New Testament reading, the Gospel reading, with the Isaiah reading. We forget a lot of times that Jesus is rooted in the Old Testament history, and Jesus uses the Old Testament to make his point often, or to speak to people who knew the Old Testament. These people, the Jews, they knew it. They didn't have it on their bookshelf collecting dust. They knew it. And like in Isaiah, who says that every bird will live in the shade of its branches, will nest winged creatures of every kind, Jesus also talks about the birds of the air making its nests, their nests and its shade. So one of the words that came to me this week was the word freedom. Whether you think of freedom as a personal freedom or freedom of a holiday that we celebrate, July the 4th, there's many others. Tomorrow is a special holiday of freedom, and we tend to think that it's not relevant to all of us. Tomorrow is Thursday. Where's my calendar? Wednesday is June 19th or Juneteenth. And it got me thinking about, what does freedom really mean? And I couldn't put freedom in any particular box, because it fills so many different ones. Jim's freedom was taken away from him, but he found new freedom in the love of God. And when he was released, which was amazing because he got life, but he had got early release, he was a valiant warrior for Christ in the community. There's a song that says, freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. That line has always bothered me because it seems like so that freedom is rooted in something so helpless and something so desolate in our souls. When in fact, freedom is what gets us out of that desolation and releases the freedom, releases the things that keep us from being free in our souls. So, what does freedom mean to you? We'll have Juneteenth on Thursday, and like I say, some people don't really acknowledge that that means anything to them because it has to do with freedom of slaves. I don't know how much you know about the holiday, but I'm going to educate you just a tad. And then right on the heels of that, we're going to have the 4th of July, which is the celebration of this country's freedom from the Brits. Sorry. I know. But I would have loved you anyway, even if it was then. Close the rabbit hole. But and then not too long after that is Bastille Day, which is France's Day of Freedom. And that could go on and on. Every month I'm sure that there's a celebration, a major celebration in a country that has something to do with how they got where they are or where they got how they want to get where they're going. Sometimes freedom is good and sometimes it's not. I really grieve for my friends in Haiti who love the freedom of being independent but cannot do it. They cannot do it, and they won't let anybody help them. I got an email today from there's a school for children with disabilities in Haiti, and the school is downtown, but the school was decimated with graffiti. They broke out windows. They basically made the building inhabitable. So they had to move the children outside the city. Freedom comes at a price sometimes. I think it actually always comes at some price. The Emancipation Proclamation was signed on January 1st, 1863. But that didn't mean that all slaves were free. All enslaved people didn't immediately find freedom. And freedom came as a state of being that sometimes meant they had nothing left to lose, but more often meant they had everything left to lose. Freedom was wonderful. It was a sense of feeling of release, but they had no freedom. They had no rights. They had no place to live, no place to work. And it was actually 2 years later when President Lincoln emancipated the slaves in Texas. He sent the cavalry there, and they read this thing that says they were free. And technically, they'd been free for almost 2 years. There were some states who chose to ignore all of this and just say, well, it didn't matter to them. And I think there's still some places in our country and the world where we think that freedom for some people doesn't matter as long as I have it. So one of the problems with the Emancipation Proclamation was that it was only good as it could be enforced, which was pretty much not at all. And I think that most of you know, or if you don't, we can talk about it, what happened to men and women who were free after they were freed. Kentucky was the last state to declare that slaves were free. But now freed, like I said, these former enslaved people had no wealth, no property, and few places to turn. And in many cases, that has not changed. Sometimes freedom comes with a price. ultimately, true freedom comes through Christ. When we give up the things that bind us or keep us from living a Christ-like life, we inch towards freedom. We can't ignore the power of bondage that exists in the world. It exists in poverty, it exists in hate, and it seems like freedom is way more than just a word and way more than nothing left to lose. A sower sows a seed, and the seed does what it's meant to do. It grows. A tiny, tiny seed grows into an immense tree. Immense. What is your way of growing into, for lack of a better word, immensity? You are seeds that are sown by God in this world to grow and to produce goodness. The seed doesn't grow because we want it to. The seed grows because that's what it was created to do. And unlike the mustard seed, we have the freedom to choose whether we grow or not. We were all created to do something. But we have a choice of whether we do it or not. And that's part of our freedom. We have the right, the power, if you will, to speak for ourselves or think just as we want to. Never mind somebody else. So that's to remember that freedom comes with consequences. And there are consequences that are good and consequences that are not so good. When we exercise our freedom, sometimes we can harm someone. And sometimes we can embrace someone. But the most important thing to remember, is that freedom comes through the Christ. And when we choose to exercise our freedom in Christ, we do so by following the great commandment. So, what will you choose? Will you choose the freedom to be what it is that God created you to be? Or will you choose the freedom to say, well, that just doesn't matter? There's no doubt that the ways of the world are there to limit our freedom, even though they say they're there to expand and support us as free. You have the right to do anything you choose. Doesn't matter who you hurt or what you do. That's your right because you're free to do that. We have to bust through that by being free in Christ. When my kids were little, I'm sure that any of you that are a parent can understand this, they often did not do what I asked them to do. I know that's a big surprise. And I was really frustrated. It was at a time when I was sort of finding my way as a single mom. And somewhere I was working on my counseling master's. And it came up in one of the classes about something called PET, which is parent effectiveness training. And I won't go into it a lot, but what it does is it frames what you do with your child in the context of them owning the decision. You use I statements. You give them a choice. Are you going to do this or are you going to do this? One good choice and one not so good. And it was amazing how it worked, because then the child felt like that they had some say in what happened to them. It was a form of freedom that worked. Yep, freedom comes at a price, but the price for us as Christians was paid when Jesus went to the cross. Amen. Please, well, you're already standing. Please.